When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 148 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Craig and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a really fun episode in store today. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, man. It's another day, another podcast, approaching 150. Crazy how quick that's gone, but
right.
Here we are, and it's been, you know, it's wrapping up minor league season, a lot of updates and a lot of changes to at least my prospect rankings and yours as well. So we're going to talk about that today, and it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, a lot of risers and fallers to get to, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're actually got back-to-back episodes here for risers and fallers. We'll do prospects today, and then on Monday's show we'll do dynasty risers and fallers. So a lot of fun names to get to here. So but before we do, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04, and our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us, and of course check out all the other great work from the entire team over at Fantrax HQ. All right, Chris, let's hop right into it. Let's go with our new top 10s here. We'll go our new top 10 overall and then our new top 10 pitchers, because I'm pretty sure neither one of us have a pitcher in the top 10 right now. I have a couple close or somewhat close, but we'll start with our new top 10 overall. Again, people that aren't aware, Chris's are OBP focused, mine are not. So just keep that little nugget in your back of your mind when you hear our rankings here. So, Chris, lead us off.
All right. So, starting at the top, you know, the first two should be no surprise, I think, for anybody with Corbin Carroll and Gunnar Henderson. Both debuted, both been solid so far. Great to see. Follow those two up with two youngsters that have been studs this year with Ellie De La Cruz and Jackson Churio at four. And then another debutee this year who's been extremely good. Another huge game today with Vaughn Grissom. He comes in the fifth spot. It's kind of weird to rank somebody like Grissom who will graduate in the next couple weeks. Like, I think he's probably got, you know, 12 more games before he exhausts prospect eligibility, but he's left on for the time being. So Grissom is five, so that top five: Carroll, Henderson, De La Cruz, Churio, and Grissom, followed up by Anthony Volpe, Jordan Walker, James Wood, Jordan Lawler, and surprise at 10 is Kyle Manzardo.
Vinny P 2.0, Kyle Manzardo. Very, very similar. So mine, I got Corbin Carroll at the top. I have Ellie De La Cruz 2, Henderson 3. I mean, I could almost, you know, you can flip-flop those. If you want to go a little safer, then obviously Henderson is your guy. I got Volpe 4. You know, he's been really back to the Volpe of old after a slow start to the season. Lawler's just been killing it all year. He's in the number 5 hole for me. He's been hitting for power, you know, stealing a bunch of bases, hitting for average. I think this is a guy that could be number 1 pretty soon. Jordan Walker at 6, so back-to-back Jordans. Then Jackson Churio at 7, James Wood at 8. I still have Ezekiel Tovar at 9, even though he hasn't played in a couple of months, which is concerning. But I just couldn't, you know, I could have probably put a couple of these other guys in, but I'll stick with Tovar. I'm very much a believer in the skill set. And I got Drew Jones at 10. Again, this is a very – I could have put like Grissom in there, Miguel Vargas. You know, could have put a couple of different guys in there, but – love Drew Jones. Not worried about that shoulder injury at all. I think this is a guy that probably is going to be our number one fantasy prospect by, you know, maybe even the end of 2023. We'll see how he comes back from that shoulder injury. But kind of interesting enough for my list here, no Robert Hassel. We'll get into him a little bit here, but people probably, I think that was like the biggest surprise for people was, hey, where's Robert Hassel? But no, the power hasn't really shown up at all this year, and he's really been not good since getting traded over to Washington. So SEC, the one surprise from my top 10, at least, I think, for people. So let's go over to our top 10 pitching prospects now, just so we can get some pitcher names in here. I'll lead off here. At number one, still Grayson Rodriguez for me. He's the only one that was close to my top 10 overall. I think he's the best, you know, best combination of ceiling and floor in the minor leagues. It's gotten a lot closer now, but I still have Espino too. Again, really concerning that he hasn't pitched since, I believe, it was like April 29th or something like that. So the gap has closed, but still, I think Espino is going to be an absolute stud, and he's in Cleveland, so that helps. Yuri Perez, 3, Ricky Tiedemann, 4, Andrew Painter, 5, Kyle Harrison, 6, Taj Bradley, 7, Gavin Williams, 8, and all those guys are in my top 40. Tink Hentz up to number 9. Talked with him last episode with Eric Garfield and Bailey Serebnyak. If you missed that episode, catch that. Absolutely. And then, what was that, number 9? So, number 10, Hunter Brown, who just had a nice little debut the other night against Texas. Chris, who you got?
Starting out with G-Rod, no surprise. Actually, I think G-Rod is no doubt the best prospect, but I don't have him in my top 25 at this point. Just so much risk with pitchers. So, I go 25 hitters, and then G-Rod comes in at 26. That's fair. And then this next group's kind of a tier with Andrew Painter at 2. It's funny, about a month ago, I wasn't there on him, but now I am. He's jumped pretty significantly, followed by Ricky Tiedemann and Yuri Perez in all back-to-back spots. So they're all kind of like in their own tier together. Kyle Harrison comes in next, followed by Taj Bradley, Gavin Williams, Daniel Espino, Tink Hentz, and Gavin Stone. I think that's 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And yep, Gavin Stone's my 10th.
Awesome. Yeah, so a lot of the same names. So you have Stone in, and I have Brown. I think that was the only difference, right? In terms of names in a different order.
Yeah.
No, we have G-Rod. Then there's a massive tier. Again, that kind of 2 through 8 are only 16 spots apart in my overall. So it's a massive cluster. Won't have any issue rating them any which way, but yeah. A lot of fun pitching prospects right now. And obviously, you know, Tink Hentz jumping up in that mix, Hunter Brown, you know, next tier, you got, you know, Bayo and Max Meyer, who drops because of, you know, injury, Bobby Miller, Mick Abel. You know, I have Gavin Sun very close as well. Jackson Job. What a fun names for pitching prospects. But let's get into some. We'll start with the followers. We usually have to get the followers out of the way first. Let's go with pitchers here. We have 8 names on the list. We're not going to go like in depth on every name here, because we got a ton of names on the list. We were just throwing names left and right. We got, it was some quick accounting here, 16, 20, 33. We have like 43 names on our little Word doc here that Chris and I use. So obviously we're not going to talk about 43 players today, but we will at least say the name of all of them and then get into some discussion on certain ones here. So these are our pitching prospect followers. And you know, we left off some that we've talked about a ton recently, both the risers and followers, but figured these are the names that we had in common and that are kind of more notable names. First off, Max Meyer, obviously getting hurt, kind of fueled that. Brendan Williamson, DJ Hers, Peyton Battenfield, Logan Allen, so 2 Cleveland names on there, which was kind of surprising to see. Dre Jameson, I joked with Chris before, you literally could put any Arizona pitching prospect not named Brendan, is it Fat?
Fat, I don't know, something like
just,
that.
Just Fat, that'd be... That is, I'm like Fat with a... He's so cool, like he goes past Fat with a PH, he's fat with a PF. It's like the next level of cool right there. Okay, Dre Jameson, Roybal Salinas, and Sam Bachman, Bachman Turner Overdrive there. All right, Chris, so let's just hop right in. Which one of these guys are you most out on for Dynasty Leagues? If you had to pick one, like one that you're just like, I'm just totally out.
Well, it's tough. Battenfield's regressed pretty significantly this year in ways that like I didn't really expect.
Where did the strikeouts go? That's what I want to know.
Right. That's the biggest question. Like, I mean, and we're talking about a pretty good sample of 138 innings. Like, and I wouldn't say his league's like tough by any means. I mean, he's running a 3.2 ERA, but a 4.34 FIP is kind of discouraging a bit, as he's had a lot of good BABIP luck. As you mentioned, the strikeouts have gone, the walk rate has gone up. What's happened to Peyton Battenfield, who I once thought was a borderline top 100 guy? Yeah. He's fallen pretty significantly. So he's a tough one. Like, if there's no strikeouts, then, you know, what is he? If he's a sub 20, if he's like a right now, 17.3% is awful, and 8.5% K minus BB, not good at all. Dre Jameson, also, what? I mean, his strikeouts have gone too, and he's running a 6.69 ERA in 109 AAA innings this year. Like,
is he up to 6.69?
Yeah, that's,
oh my word. Last time I looked, he was in like the mid fives, which is still bad enough. I didn't realize he got up that high.
Right. So Jameson's already somebody that you had, I had concerns about at least before he really kind of like broke out last year, just because of the walks. And now you see this, and he's lost the strikeout touch. Like, for Battenfield and Jameson to go to AAA, which, you know, I don't consider a huge jump from AA. Like, I think the big jump's from high A to AA, but AA to AAA is not a significant jump. And to see him really struggle like this is concerning. So both those guys, and Jameson, 25 years old, Battenfield, 25 years old. So at this point, like, these guys are kind of like, show me, or like I'm completely out. So yeah, those two I'm fading pretty hard.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, last year, Battenfield, 103 innings, 131 strikeouts. This year, and 35 more innings, he has 33 less strikeouts. Like you mentioned, the K rate dropping to 17.3%. What was it at last year? I think it was over 30% last year. Let me do some quick math here. Yeah, 32.9% last year. And I don't think anybody thought that was sustainable, but that's almost been cut in half, nearly in half, below 20. It's not going to get done. Like you mentioned, he's not pitching terribly. Like you said, the ERA is still 3.2, even though he is a little, has some good luck there. But yeah, if you can't strike anybody out, like, you're not going to be more than, you know, a guy people, you know, use it for a spot start and for streaming for fantasy purposes and good matchups. So yeah, definitely concerning. It's weird though. Like we talk about, and Logan Allen too, he's another one. As I pull up his numbers, he has not been good at all this year either. Let me see here. Let me make sure I pick up the... Yep, I always click the wrong Logan Allen. Why do I do that? I don't want that. The other one that's even less fantasy relevant. That's on the same team. There we go. Yeah, the other Logan Allen this year, 4.59 ERA, 23 starts, but 3.33 in AA and a 6.86 ERA in 10 starts with a 175 whip in AAA. So it's kind of like the same thing. But he's still striking guys out at least, but the ratios have just gone to crap here. It's weird though, Chris. Like we talk about how good Cleveland's been developing pitchers, and they have. But at the same time, you know, it's like there's a wide range with them where it's like they either get Bieber or it's like these other guys that like Quantrill was kind of regressed from what people thought he could be. Plesac, you know, it's guys like that. And then also McKenzie. It's like, I don't know. It's like they're not, they are a great pitching development org, but I don't know. They aren't without fault. They do have their misses, that's for sure. Yeah, so those two definitely concern me. The other one, DJ Hers has forgotten how to, you know, he wasn't really great at throwing strikes in general, but he just forgot how to throw them in just all together. He has 63 walks this year in 86 and a third innings. That is a 16.6% walk rate. It's gotten even worse of late. It's over 20% over the last month. He's still striking out a ton of guys, but you know, we've dinged DL Hall a ton, and DL Hall has probably even got better command and control by a little bit over Hers and has better stuff overall. So Hers is a guy I dropped a ton. I think he's a bullpen arm. I think I'm 95% sure he's a bullpen arm. They haven't made that transition yet, but you got to imagine it's happening soon, because he has a 9.53 ERA in 7 AA starts with a 1.99 whip and more walks than innings pitched. He has 26 walks in 22 and two thirds innings in AA Tennessee. So he's one where, you know, like I said, those types of arms where they're 12, 13, 14 plus percent walk rate, I start fading hard. That's why people ask me, hey, why didn't you bump Griff McGarry up higher from the Philadelphia Phillies? And yeah, McGarry's nasty, but he also has like a 14.5% walk rate this year. So that's why I have been burnt by these guys in the past, and I just don't want to go down that road again. So I am Hers has to show me something really quick, or I'm not even, he's still in my top 400 right now, but he's almost out of it. Like, where did I put Hers? Hers is, yeah, he's still in the 200s, but he's dropping quick. He was almost pushing top 100 at some point. So where do you have Hers, Chris?
Let's see. He did drop pretty significantly. Have him at 248 right now.
Okay.
And that was a drop from 148, 100 yeah, spots.
So they're both about, yeah, both roughly 100 spot drops.
Yeah.
For each of our guys. Yeah, can't locate your pitches, can't throw strikes, can't limit the walks. Not going to have a very long career, at least not as a starter, that's for sure.
No. And Sam Bachman's another one that I dropped pretty substantially. Like, I've always valued Bachman as a pretty pure reliever, but he's walking 15% of batters, and his strikeouts have gone as well. Like, I know there's been some injuries, but, like, he's come back and just been very, like, meh since he came back mid-July. He missed some time early on, but mid-July on, he's not getting it done. I mean, he's running a 1.4% K-BB rate, and that just doesn't cut it. Like, even for a reliever, you got to strike out more than 16% of batters.
Right.
If you say, well, he's starting right now, he turns to reliever right now, that's probably translates to like 20%. It's still not good, especially when you walk that kind of numbers that you do. I mean, the ERA looks decent, but he's running a 5.5 FIP. So, like, that's a major concern. And relievers are already finicky when we think about prospect rankings. So, just an easy drop for me.
Yeah, that is very surprising to me that Bachman, you know, I'm not overly surprised about the walk rate. We knew that was an issue, but just the fact that he's with the stuff he has, you know, the upper 90s cheese, the really good breaking ball, you know, good changeup as well, or one that showed promise, I thought he'd be at least striking out guys. Like, maybe the walk rate will be high his first full year. Maybe the ratios won't be that great, but as long as the strikeouts were there, and they just haven't been. So, yeah, definitely concerning there. If there's one guy here out of these eight, Chris, like the one guy you would buy low on the most, does anybody stand out to you? I mean, like Max Meyer seems like the obvious choice because most of his drop is due to injury, but you know, that can also be concerning long-term as well. So is there anyone here that you feel comfortable in bouncing back, whether it be, you know, probably not this year, but not in 2023?
I mean, Meyer's the obvious one, like you said. Brendan Williamson's been surprisingly bad and very disappointing since he was traded to Cincinnati. Like, I thought he could be a potential bright spot, but he's just been awful. Like, he's one that I want to buy into, but I just can't get myself to. So that's tough. I mean, maybe Logan Allen. He seems like there's a shot. I mean, he is running a near 400 BABIP in AAA right now, and the strand rate's pretty low. So I think there's been some bad luck. So if the walk rate trends downward, then maybe he could. But again, you look at a 1.75 whip. So outside of Meyer, I don't love buying low on any of these guys. But if I had to take a shot on one, I would probably go with Logan Allen just because the whiff rates have sustained, good swinging strike rate. There's just something that seems to be a little bit off with him that if he can fix, he can probably get back to being a decent starter.
Yeah, I was going to say either Allen or Williamson because, you know, hers, I'm basically out on Battenfield. This doesn't strike out anybody anymore. Williamson still's got good stuff. Allen's got solid stuff. You know, Salinas, who knows? He was like kind of flash in the pan earlier. So we'll see if that can, you know, he can get back to having that success. So, yeah, probably definitely not hers. Definitely not Jameson. Definitely not Bachman. Though I was really hoping I could have some Bachman Turner Overdrive team names down the road. But if he's not going to be good, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'll go. If I had to go one that's not Max Meyer, I'll go Williamson. I'll go with him. The stuff is good. I don't love that he's in Cincinnati now, but stuff is still very good. So we'll see. You know, bet on the stuff, and hopefully everything else can he can figure that out. All right, moving over to hitters now. 8 hitters on the list: Robert Hassel, the third, Nick York, Gabriel Moreno, Brady House, Christian Hernandez, Alex Benelis, Hunter Bishop, and Heliot Ramos. A couple Red Sox, a couple Giants. You know, Robert Hassel, who I mistakenly still put at San Diego on the outlines. My brain is thinking San Diego. There we go. Change it to Washington. Yeah, he's obviously the biggest name. Well, there's, you know, a good amount of big names on here. All these guys have been, I think all of them have been top 50 or even higher fantasy prospects at some point. But we were kind of hoping that the power would come along with Hassel this year, and it just really hasn't. Overall on the year, he's got 11 home runs and 102 games, but with a 412 slug and a 141 ISO, and this has gotten even worse. Like, he's been really, really bad since going over to Washington, though it was a bump up from high A where he was in San Diego. Then he went to high A in Washington. Now he's up in double A Harrisburg right now. He's hitting 183 in double A, and he was hitting 211 in high A. This is with the in the national system. So one home run combined in 27 games, slugging percentage below 250, ISOs below 100. I still think the power potential is there, but maybe he's more like a 12 to 15 homer guy with a solid average and, you know, 20 plus steals. And that's still good. I still have him top 20, but yeah, he's just not the profile didn't, you know, scream top 10 for me anymore.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, some people, I think it's just the thing with prospects. Like, I've heard people like, he's not a top 50, he's not a top 100. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, that's not, I'm not going to be that person that just, you know, loses everything because I've like heard some data that's concerning. Like, yeah, his exit velocity suck. Like, his average EV is like 85. Like, that's not good at all by any means. But I think we have to consider the circumstances here. Already struggling a bit. I mean, he was fine in high A in San Diego, but you get traded for the best player arguably in baseball in Juan Soto. You move across the country, uproots your life and everything you've known since you've got drafted and have to move to a new org and completely start over in a sense. Yeah, he's not been good since he's been traded to Washington, but I do think the hate for Hassel is going a bit too far. When we talked to him, we interviewed him last offseason, and he's going to be the type where I think this offseason he just puts in the work.
Yep, agreed.
I think he's just going to really get back to where he needs to be. Yes, maybe he doesn't get to the power that we once thought, but what if Robert Hassel is a 300, but I think he's capable of. I'll say he's a 285 type hitter that hits 15 home runs and can steal you 25 bases. That's a valuable fantasy asset.
Yeah.
And he's a swing tweak away, I think, from getting even more power because he does have some strong poolside power. And I've even seen some him hitting oppo home runs that there's like, there is the juice in there, and like he's capable of getting to those higher end exit velocities. He just hasn't consistently enough. He just turned 21. Like, I think we got to cut the guy a little bit of slack here and acknowledge that, like, he's just a little tweak away from getting more loft on the ball, getting to more fly balls. And naturally, I think with that, you're going to see him get to more power. So I'm not writing him off yet. He does. I'd love to see him get a little more pull happy, honestly. Like, he loves hitting opposite field, which is great. Like, he gets to all fields well. But if we want to see him get the home run power, let's see him really try to pull the ball a little more. But I don't think that's who he's going to be. So I think he's still, like, I've got him at 20 right now, which is probably a fair spot considering everything I've seen. But, like, if you get a Whit Merrifield type player, are you really going to be upset?
Sure, you shouldn't be. No. Like I said, and, you know, like you said, that it might not be the sexy profile, but that's still very, you know, usable in fantasy leagues. Like, you get nice little five category production. You know, he's probably going to get high in the order for Washington because, you know, who else is going to? Unless they bring in a lot of players over the next couple of years until he comes up. But so you probably get some solid run production out of him as well. So he might not ever be a guy that stands out in any one particular area, but probably a guy that's give you some solid production across the board. And those guys are valuable as well. But yeah, it's not, he's not top 10 anymore. But hey, maybe if the power, you know, ticks up next year and we see him, like you said, start getting to more of that pull side pop, then maybe he could return. We'll see. I'm not shutting the door on him, you know, ever returning to it being a top 10 prospect. But yeah, definitely not top 10 right now. You know, how concerned are you on the other Nats name on this list here, Chris, and Brady House? He's had, you know, a combination of poor performance and some injuries this year. So he's been really limited all around. You know, you look at, let's see here, in 45 games, 203 plate appearances, he's hitting 278. That's fine, but only three home runs, only a 350, excuse me, that's his OPP, 375 slug, 097 ISO. And this is a guy that you saw, you know, back before he got drafted here. You know, are you any concerns here from the kind of the low power, or is it too small of a sample size for you?
Well, I honestly think he's been playing hurt all year. I mean, you can go back to May when he was dealing with some injuries, when he originally was placed on the IL on May the 4th with the back injury. And he came back and he played. It just wasn't there. And I just think the back injury affected him all year to the point where looking at the data before, okay, before the injury, before he's placed on the IL, 326 average with two home runs in 21 games. So the power wasn't there per se, but he was hitting for average at least. And, you know, striking out less, still having a decent walk rate. So I'm willing to pretty much write this season off as a injured season because back injuries, you know, have a lot of effect on the swing. So I still believe in House. Like, naturally you have to drop him a bit because, like, that's where the value goes when you're injured. He obviously, a small sample, didn't perform well, but I'm willing to buy back in and buy low on him because I think that he'll rebound next year and honestly be totally fine.
Yeah, so you're definitely looking to buy low on him right now if possible.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know where people are valuing him, and where do you have him? Because I didn't drop him that much. I dropped him to 64, but previously I had him around 40.
I think he's in this. Did you hear that beep? Is that just me? I just heard a random beep in my headset. That was weird. I have him, I think, probably the same range. You said, what, 64?
Yeah.
It'd be help if I just used an actual control F here. 71. Oh, he's right there. I was looking right at him. I just didn't see the name. Yeah, so 71. That's down from, I had him 28. He was top there. I think we've had similar rankings on him in terms of the high end and then now. But yeah, I wonder, you know, the approach, you know, he doesn't walk that much, carry rate's a bit higher. But yeah, dealing with the injury. So I'm not like completely writing him off. I'm not like out on him, but like you said, the value had to drop. The ranking had to drop because of performance and the injury and the time missed this year. But he's definitely one that I could see bouncing back. I could see both these, you know, Hassel and him bouncing back in 2023. So, you know, two solid buy lows here in the offseason. We got a couple of Red Sox on the list, unfortunately. You know, Nick York, after having that nice breakout year last year, just hasn't been terrible this year, but he hasn't been like, the follow-up season has not been there where you're like, oh, this guy's a top 25 prospect. He's down to, let's see, 234, 302, 372 in high A Greenville, Chris's neck of the woods. 11 home runs, 7 steals, you know, walk rate still about 9%. K rate, let's see here, is about right around 25% or so. So again, not terrible, but just very underwhelming. And then Alex Benellis, we won't go too deep into him, but he just has not hit well at all this year. You know, the one of the big names coming back that's supposed to be the kind of the big piece for Hunter Renfroe, maybe a guy that could turn into a Hunter Renfroe type. He's got 24 home runs and 8 steals, but you look at, he's hitting 201, 305, 428 this year, hitting 149 since he came up here to AA. I'll bait 10 home runs in 49 games, but I question if he's ever like a full-time player. I just don't know if he hits enough to get there. And then Nick York, I want to still be in on New York. I'm not out on Nick York. I just wonder if we kind of bought in too much to last year. I wonder, like, we talked about him earlier in the year. He said there's still some decent skills there, but maybe we just went a bit high on him, Chris, as not just you and I, just as an entire industry.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'll go ahead and just hit Benellis real quick because I think, and I'll say the same for Nico Cavadas, where I think the gap between high A pitching in the Sal League is terrible. And when you get to AA, you're definitely facing better arms. So for Benellis, I'm not surprised he struggled. Cavadas, I'm not surprised that he's hitting 224 right now with a 31% strikeout rate. I'm not sure Benellis is an everyday player. And I think Cavadas is a platoon, a DH type bat. So, like,
yeah,
I think it's easy to get excited about what we saw, like, at the lower levels, like, But you got to remember, these are college hitters. Like, Cavadas is nearly 24. Cavadas is exciting. He's got big power. Like, I know he's not on this list, but it made me think of him when I thought about Benellis, where, you know, they dominated high A, but the pitching sucked. So they're not facing any good competition. And then when you face decent competition that's closer to your age in double A, I'm not surprised to see the struggles just based on seeing these guys live. And you know, Cavadas wasn't in Greenville that long. But I saw, you know, at least 5 games of him. Benellis a little more, so I'm not surprised. For York, however, I really wanted to chop the season to injury, similar to Brady House. He's dealt with a lot of crap this year, from just a sickness early on that kept him out a while, and turf toe in a back and a wrist, like all kind of junk that's been going on with him. But he's been fully healthy for at least a month, if not more. So he came back July 22nd. So I'm willing to give him that week and a half into August that he came back. And so he's fully healthy for August on, and still he's just hitting 240 since then. That's at least a little more encouraging, but it's not what we expect out of somebody like Nick York. Does have 5 home runs over those 25 games. So there is some power coming back, but what is the overall profile for him?
Like, yeah,
even if he's a plus hitter, if York is a 15 home run, 5 to 8 stolen base type, like, what does that provide for fantasy? And that's what I'm concerned about with him, is that maybe he does eclipse 15 home runs and maybe he has a little bit more than that. But if that's what you're getting out of him, like, on an average season, so let's say he's a 270 to 280 hitter, but he gives you 15 and 8, like, there's just not a lot of fantasy value to be had, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think at this point, a high-end outcome for him would be like a poor man's Jeff McNeil.
That's fair.
And I guess, you know, you could probably use that, and, you know, depending on league depth. But yeah, I don't see him being this, like, a big impact player at all. But the last name here that I really wanted to get into, Gabriel Moreno. He's a guy that was, you know, top, you know, depending on what list you looked at for fantasy, at anywhere from top 2 to top probably 4 fantasy catching prospect earlier in the year. And myself absolutely included in that. I will not say I did not do that, because I absolutely did. But since then, like, he's now my number, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, number 8 catching prospect. And almost there's 2 that are right below him. And I think you can make a case for those 2 above him, and maybe even a couple other guys pretty soon here, or at least having similar value. Like, the guys I have ahead of him now for catching prospects: Francisco Alvarez, Andy Rodriguez, Harry Ford, Tyler Soderstrom. Even some of the guys will move off, obviously. But right now, catching prospect eligible: Austin Wells, Diego Cartea, and Yainer Diaz, and Bo Naylor or Henry Davis are right below him, and Parada's, you know, not too far apart either. So,
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He just, the power has not been there. I think he's got to hit for an average. Like, he's shown that he's a very high contact, high floor professional hitter. But does he ever get the double digit home runs? Could he? Absolutely. Like, the raw power is there to get to, like, you know, I say around 15, 16, 17, something like that. But just doesn't get to it consistently in games, and really hasn't at all this year. Like, I think he's still, what does he have for home runs in the year? Is he even hit five yet?
Three.
Okay. I knew he was like 3, 4, 5 range, but at the same time, he's hitting, yeah, pull up his, I hate how Baseball Reference goes to the major league stats first.
Yeah.
He's hitting 315, 386 OBP, but a 420 slug, 105 ISO, 3 home runs in 62 games. And that's in, you know, a AAA environment that usually is conducive to at least a little bit of a power boost there. So I think he's a 280 plus hitter, but is it just empty average at this point? I don't know. It's so, I just don't know how valuable he is for fantasy. Maybe a two catcher league just because of the high average, that'll help you there. But do you think he's ever a guy that's, you know, like a top 12 type of fantasy catchers? I don't think he is.
I've got him 11th among catching prospects at this point. So,
ooh, 11th. And, I like, yeah, that.
There's just a plethora of good catching prospects at this point. So, I mean, Alvarez, Bo Naylor, Austin Wells, Diego Cartaya, Kevin Parada, Soderstrom. I still kind of consider him a catcher. He's kind of he's moving to first base, but
yeah.
Indy Rodriguez, Henry Davis, Harry Ford, Yainer Diaz. So, like, Moreno is still a top 100 prospect, but
yeah,
the catching prospects have gotten significantly better, and he hasn't. And like you said, great contact skills. Like, I don't think there's any questioning the contact skills at all. He's going to be elite contact, but his swing just isn't conducive to getting to power or fly balls in general. So he has a weird little hitch that could hinder him, that pitchers could really exploit. And even if he hits for good average, like, I just don't see him getting for the power, like you said. So for that reason, like, I was completely wrong. Like, I had him preseason bumped up pretty high because, like, you know, he was great and we saw him in the AFL, but still, you have to consider beyond like that and just look at the whole outlook. And he just doesn't look like a catcher to me that is going to be super fantasy viable in a two catcher league, certainly, but in a 12 team one catcher league, I'm not sure he's ever startable.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And I looked at, in my March rankings, I had him 30th, right behind Jordan Lawler, right in front of Brady House. So
yeah,
he's just consistently dropped. I think that was his peak. As in May, he went down to 43. In June, where is he in June here? Okay, he stayed right around the early 40 mark. July, so he kind of stayed. Yeah, he was around 40 again, but this was the big drop. I'm like, all right, I'm done waiting for the power to come around. So I just don't think it's going to. But all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break as we are now done with the followers. We'll come back on the other side and get into some risers. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back from the break. All right. Risers time, Chris. We got a lot of names here, even more riser names than followers. Okay. So we kind of broke them up into pitchers, infielders, and outfielders just to kind of, you know, break them up a little bit here, have some sort of organization to this list. We only have 4 pitchers on the list because a lot of the other names that rose up our rankings we either talked about or they're not quite as noteworthy as some of these other guys that we want to get to in this episode. So the 4 names on the list, Andrew Painter obviously is the biggest name, then Tink Hentz, Tanner Bibby, and Brennan Fat. Yeah, we'll go with that. Until I'm corrected, I will go with that. But
right.
And you have Andrew Painter all the way up to number 2. And again, that's a massive, it's like G-Rod, then we have a massive cluster there. But I mean, Andrew Painter had just, he keeps it's almost like Tiedemann. It's like he's like the NL, and obviously he's a righty and Tiedemann's a lefty, but in a similar trajectory where they're both very young. You know, they've been bumped aggressively by their respective organization, and those have been the right call. I think I like when even at a young age, you know, like the old guys were 19 to start the season. Even at a young age, if they're showing what these guys have shown this year, I'm fine with a bit of an aggressive bump to say, hey, let's test them a little bit. It's just so we end the season, you know, get their feet wet at that next level before they go on to that level full time next year. I'm all for it. And both these guys have Tiedemann and Painter have pitched very well in Double A. I saw Tiedemann earlier this year. I didn't realize Painter was going over the weekend, or else I would have went down there. I thought he went on Friday, so that's my mistake. But I'll see him next year, I'm sure. But in three Double A starts here, 140 ERA through 19 and a third innings, only allowed 15 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 23 strikeouts on the year. He has 141 walks to just 24 strikeouts for a K-minus walk rate. That can't be right. Is that really his K-minus walk rate? 32% K-minus walk rate?
Yeah.
Did I calculate
right.
that wrong?
That's right.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me break it down. So K rate, 38.7, and then walk rate, 6.6. Yeah, that's right. Oh my God. I was like, I had to have just calculated that wrong. 32% K-minus walk rate. That is absolutely insane for a guy. He's still, has he even turned 20 yet? Is he still 19? I mean, look, when was he born? Okay, so he just turned 19 in April. So he'll be 20 next April 10th. So it's almost like the Yuri Perez from last year. So he's definitely him, and you have him second. I have him, what did I say, fifth? Yeah, fifth. But right in that tier, man, he's just incredibly, incredibly exciting to watch. And, you know, beyond all the strikeouts, like, it kind of gets lost as that low walk rate and this that good feel that he has for his entire arsenal. I mean, I'm all in on him as a frontline pitching prospect or a frontline pitcher moving forward, I should say.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to see like the progression and just the dominance at every level. And I mean, absolute stud here. So, and there's a reason he's moving up. So this is a case though, where it's like, if you're in a dynasty league, like I wouldn't go out of your way to try to trade for a pitching prospect. Like, you got to find the next one that's going to take off, because like as soon as you trade for him, you could get TJ, like hopefully not, but you know, pitching prospects are so volatile and change year to year. So it's not a case where you need to go out and acquire him right now, but look for the next one. Find the next Andrew Painter.
And I think you definitely can. You look at most of these guys that we had in our top 10 pitching prospects here. I know obviously Tiedemann was a guy you probably got super late in terms of your first year player drafts. I'm trying to like filter back the pitchers here. There we go. Yeah. So Yuri Perez obviously came out of nowhere, but again, kind of was a little name turned into this huge name. Same with Tiedemann. Painter was a first round pick, but he's a guy that you probably could have gotten around like what, 20 or so in your FYPD.
Yeah.
Same thing with Harrison. Taj Bradley's kind of ascended from being, you know, a guy that was considered like a top 200 guy. Now he's top 50 overall. You know, Tink Hentz has blown up this year. Hunter Brown has blown up this year. You know, a lot of these names, Gavin Stone has blown up this year. So a lot of these names that you can get pretty affordably now. So I 100% agree with what Chris just said, because if you do have one of these guys, I should say, you're going to ask a lot for them, because, you know, I really want to hold on to, if I have a top guy like this, you know, for the most part, you're going to ask a high price tag for these guys. So it's almost not worth it, you know, considering the price that it'll cost to get these guys. So you definitely go look for the guys that are on the rise, you know, like some guys like Bryce Miller, who's been rising a ton already, like a Gunnar Hoglund, who I think who can make a big jump next year, you know, a Chase Petty, you know, guys like that, like Brock Porter, you know, these younger guys, Bubba Chandler, some guys like that you could be seeing them jump up next year. Those are the guys to get, not Andrew Painter. But I'm not going to be opposed, obviously. I'm not saying don't get Andrew Painter, because obviously he's very, very damn good. But yeah, definitely agree with what Chris said in terms of that, though. Then the other names here, hence we talked about a lot last episode with guys that have seen them, Eric Garfield and Bailey Serebnyak, so go check that out. you know, I think Bailey is just like falling in love with Tin Cans. Like that was like you saw his face just light up like a kid in the candy shop when he was talking about Tin Cans. So, you know, smaller guy, but the arm speed is just insanely elite. So, and St. Louis is quietly just a good player development organization. They don't get quite as much recognition for it, but I think they're definitely one of the better ones in baseball, easily a top 10 player development org that doesn't get that recognition. And, you know, Bibby and Pfaff we talked about as well, but Pfaff is kind of still flying under the radar, I think. Like, while all the other big name, you know, Arizona Diamondbacks pitching prospects have just really not done well. We talked about Jay Jameson, you know, Ryan Nelson actually has pitched well, but he had kind of not a great year in the minor leagues. And I'm trying to think so many other names that have fallen off here, but there's been a lot of them. Like basically all the big name Arizona guys have fallen off, and Pfaff has not. He's really ascended to being maybe the number one. You know, Walston, another one I was trying to think of. He's had a kind of a lackluster year, but yeah, in 7 AAA starts for Pfaff, 2.57 ERA. He's only walked 12 guys in 42 innings at the level with 47 strikeouts, whips under one. And this is in the PCL too. And this is after, you know, kind of a lackluster AA showing, but really showing well in AAA. Probably he's up soon. So is he more than a number 3, number 4 starter? No, but I think he's a guy that you can get for a pretty affordable price tag here. And then Tanner Bibby, I think you just bumped him top 100, didn't you, Chris?
Yep, he's really good, and he hasn't showed any signs of slowing down. And the stuff's really ticked up with him this year, and you know the fastball velo's up. It's pretty solid, and you know he makes in a slider and a change in a curve as well. It's really just been impressive to see his ascent this year, and to me, he has the makings of everything you want to see in a top 100 pitching prospect, and good command. It kind of reminds me, I'm not going to say he's become Shane Bieber, but kind of reminds me of that, where good command and just really developed stuff with it and saw the velo tick up. And that's kind of the path to success that we've seen. Like, it's like George Kirby as well. And not to say Bibby becomes either of these guys, but Bibby's been really good. And I think kind of under the radar for too long. I mean, 61 2/3 AA innings. He's running a 1.61 ERA and a 0.88 FIP, just a 4.2% walk rate, 28.2% strikeout rate. As I mentioned, the arsenal's really good, so I like Bibby a lot.
Yeah, as do I. And the other two, you know, a couple of names from Arizona, Slade Cione and Bryce Jarvis have also fallen off a ton this year. They're both outside my top 400 actually right now. So, yeah, it's Pfaff and then a big gap to, you know, the Walstons and Landon Sims and all that up the world. So, and Bibby, again, he's moved up. I think he's close to top 100 for me. Let me switch over to Cleveland. Yeah, he's 127 for me. So he's only behind, obviously, Espino and Williams. And then it's Bibby, Morris, Burns, Battenfield, and then, you know, Curry, Allen, and all them. So he's definitely clear number 3 for me in that Cleveland org, a very talented org at that. So a lot of nice stuff there from both these guys. All right, moving over to some infielders now. We have, 13 infielders on the list here. Vaughn Grissom, Kyle Manzardo, Andy Rodriguez, Yainer Diaz, Bo Naylor, Logan Ohapi, 4 catching prospects. As, you know, when I was filtering, when I was looking at where I had Moreno, Chris, there was so much, you know, I did a formula on my Excel sheet and highlighting, you know, if they jumped more than, I think it was 25 spots, I had them highlighted in green. There were so many green highlights in that list. So it's like a lot of catching prospects on the rise. You could probably have added 4 more names to this list, but we'll keep it to Andy, Yainer, Bo, and Logan. Yidi Capé from Miami, we talked about him last week. Matt Mervis, kind of a breakout older prospect in the Cubs system. Connor Norby, Nico Cavadas, Jose Rodriguez, Lennon Sosa, and Edward Julian, though I don't like how he spells Edward. Is that am I the only one that just like doesn't like how that, like the O-U-A in a row throws me off?
Yeah, it's like it wants to be like Edward.
I know, it's like fancy. Just throw a W in there, cut out the OU, you'll call it good. But yeah, a lot of good names. You said you had Manzardo. Manzardo and Grissom are both top 10 for you. Not quite for me, but not that far off either. Andy Rodriguez, I freaking love Andy Rodriguez. I have just developed an absolute man crush on Andy Rodriguez. He just keeps raking. Does he stay behind the plate? We'll see. You know, they also have Henry Davis, so not sure how that plays out. Probably moves off, but maybe he's a guy that keeps enough eligibility to, you know, kind of keep that tag for the first few years of his career. But He's hitting .314, .405, .591 this year between high A and double A. 33 doubles, 24 home runs. And last year in low A, Bradenton, .294, .385, .12 with 15 home runs and 25 doubles in 98 games. So it's not like he came out of nowhere. He did this last year just nobody was paying attention because A, he's in Pittsburgh, and B, he's a catching prospect. Kind of that combination kept his stock down, and I wish I would have bought more Dynasty stock on him then. Now he's his, like I said, I am top 50 overall. I think I'm maybe a little high on him, but this bat is legit, like 280 plus if a hitter. I think he's, you know, could be low to mid 20s home runs as well. Probably hits, you know, near the middle of the order for them as well. So I think a nice four category guy. Maybe he adds, you know, a couple steals in there as well, but it's a really good four category guy. Then Yiner Diaz, he's jumped a ton as well. He's in well inside my top 75 now. Bo Naylor, I think, did you have Bo Naylor at 2 for catching prospects?
I do, yep.
Okay, yeah, so he's up there. And then Logan O'Hoppe, who, again, I put Philly on them. My brain still thinks that they're, it takes a while for my brain to, like, transition teams sometimes. He's on the Angels now. And so, yeah, he's been quietly continue the rake. He's hitting for good average, good pop. Man, I would be really happy to have any of these four on my Dynasty team right now.
Yeah, there's not been a hotter hitter in the minors than Indy Rodriguez over the last month or so. Since August, he's hitting .374 with a .1220 OPS, 9 home runs over that time. And you always like to look back, and I really liked what I saw last year, and I didn't buy in enough in leagues, unfortunately. But I found a thread I did from 11/11/2021. And it says, a Pirates catching prospect, Indy Rodriguez, is pretty intriguing. He's versatile, can also play first base and outfield, generates high-end bat speed thanks to great torque from the hip rotation, good bat path, natural loft, ideal launch angles, good splits. And then I put the last tweet, does not get the love he deserves, could be a breakout prospect in 2022.
Well, hit that on the head.
Yeah, yeah, that's always fun to see. And then on 3/19, I put that I was wrongfully too low on him. I believed he'd be a top 100 prospect by midseason. So I just didn't pick him up enough places. Like, I saw it, I just didn't pick him up, but he's good. He's really, really good. And I don't know. I think people really sell his power short, but it's hard to deny what he's done this year. And I think you have an argument for him to go like as high as any other catching prospect, honestly. I mean, like, to me, like, Alvarez is not head and shoulders above any other catching prospect at this point. We've mentioned a lot of them here that are risers. And
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I just don't think it's like he's good. Francisco Alvarez is really good, but it's not like he's like in another league above these guys. So if you could sell him, I might do it and get some, like, get one of these guys plus more. I would do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the deal. I mentioned this before. That's a deal I'd love to make, where you get a guy that you think can be just as good and also get that another little piece, whether it be a draft pick or another, you know, top 150 type of prospect. But, you know, like, would it surprise you if Alvarez is, let's say, 260 with 25 plus home runs and Andy's like 275, 280 with, you know, maybe, you know, 5 less home runs, but the average will be, I think the average will be higher for Andy. So,
yeah, I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah, like, I obviously would, I still have Alvarez ahead, but yeah, it's not, I think, what's the overall gap here for these guys? I have, see, I said Andy's at, I think, 42 here. Let me switch back over to catchers. Yeah, Andy's at 43. Alvarez is at 31. So yeah, only a 12 spot gap there. And Alvarez dropped 11 spots. He was at 20. So he's kind of turning down a little bit. Not a ton, obviously, but then Andy is jumping in considerably. And Harry Ford, I love Harry Ford as well. He's another guy that, you know, I almost threw on this list as well. He's been really high OBP, good speed, power's slowly getting there. But man, there's so many. I can't talk enough about all the fun young catching prospects. And if people seem to just like write these guys off, but there's a lot of legit talent here. So, you know, if you're catching, you know, scenario in your dynasty league isn't great, just try to get a couple of these young guys, and I'm sure one of them will stick and become a very impactful player. Scooping some non-catchers here. Manzardo, Grissom, the two biggest names on this list here. You have them both in your top 10. Grissom has just been very, very impressive. Like we both had him inside of our top 100. You know, he was a guy that I think it was like, 60 to 80 range for the most part. Didn't really expect him to do this initially, but again, it's kind of like with Michael Harris, like similar, Harris, I think was ranked, a bit higher as a prospect as compared to Vaughn Grissom, but yeah, similar. Like we didn't expect him to break out to this degree. Like Grissom tanked 337 through his first 25 games, five doubles, four home runs, and four steals, 384 OBP, 522 slug. You still got a lot of projection on the frame as well. I think he could add even more good bulk to that frame. Would it surprise you, Chris? Like we start looking at, it's easy to compare him to other Atlanta infielders like Ozzie Albies. Do you think there's a path where Grissom gets up to being as high as Albies is right now in dynasty rankings?
He could. I wouldn't be surprised. He could be a safer bet, honestly. And there's some volatility in Albies' profile, but Grissom's progression has been really good. And for a 21-year-old, getting his first taste of the majors, only 22 games in Double A, pretty good what we're seeing here. And especially from an OBP standpoint, he could surpass Albies from an OBP standpoint, I think.
I think he could. Yeah, obviously Albies doesn't really have the lofty OBPs here. All right, let's get the little game of who would you rather in, Chris. I like to get at least one of these games in every episode. It's the battle of Paul J. Haggerty High School in Oviedo, Florida. Dynasty, let's go 5 years out. Who's better, Vaughn Grissom or Riley Green?
Green is going to get so suppressed by this park in Detroit. I don't want to write him off yet, and I don't want to make a rash decision based on Grissom's hot start, but I think there's an argument that Grissom goes toe-to-toe with him in a lot of categories, honestly. Because I think people are expecting more speed out of Green than I'm expecting, at least. He's 1-for-5 on the base pass since being promoted. So he just doesn't really have the speed or really the instincts, I don't think. So, it's going to be closer than people think.
I totally agree. I have them 16 spots apart in my dynasty rankings. I was a little aggressive. I look back at what Harris has done, and I'm not making a direct comp here, but it gave me more confidence in Grissom and this hot start. I think the power's there, the speed's there. I think he's going to be 20-plus home runs, 10 to 15 steals, maybe even selling his speed a little bit short. He's always been a high average, high contact type, solid walk rates. So I have him 78 right now and Green 62 in my dynasty rankings. Like I said, maybe a bit aggressive on Grissom, but, I've always liked him, and I thought there was more in the tank, so I'm definitely buying into that. And with Manzardo, like I said, if you missed out on Vinny P, Manzardo has a lot of similar traits to Vinny P, a lot. High average, great approach, hits the ball hard, in very much in control of his at bat. So I don't know. I was probably too low. I was too low. I should have bumped him higher. I have him at 30. I should have went higher than that. I applaud you for putting him 10. I probably, if I redid that, I probably put him in back in top 20. But OBP, obviously, a little bit higher. But, man, it's hard to find. Obviously, he doesn't run. I guess that's his weakness, if you want to call it that. But this looks like a very high floor, high ceiling, four category performer from first base. So I'm 100% in on Manzardo.
Yeah, and if you want to, I guess people can be upset, there's no speed, so you go into Houndsman with no speed. But the combination of exit velocities and contact are pretty second to none from Manzardo. So he's just got such a knack for the barrel and hits the ball extremely hard. So yeah, I feel pretty confident that he's a really solid fantasy performer. And you think we still draft people that high that don't steal bases. Manzardo's one where I don't see why he's not a top first baseman for a long time. Honestly, I'm a little more confident with him than Costas at this point.
Yeah, I still have Costas a few spots ahead, but I can see that. I think it's going to be very close. Like, I have them very close to my rankings. So, yeah. Did you think before the season, Chris, that Manzardo will be your top-rated Tampa Bay Ray prospect by this time of the year?
No.
He's a few spots. I just looked at my overall. He's like a handful of spots ahead of, let's see how many. Yeah, five spots ahead of Bradley, who's 35. And then Meade, Aranda. That's actually kind of a drop-off. Some guys have graduated as well, like Brujan and Lowe and all of them. But, yeah, Manzardo is an absolute beast. He jumped up 93 spots and probably should have jumped up a bit more. But, all right, what are some other names here we want to get to in the infielders here? I think the last name I want to talk about personally, Connor Norby. He's a guy that going into the draft, you know, the contact skills were there. I think some people put him as 55, others as 60, you know, some solid speed, but his power grades didn't really get, you know, a lot of high praise. But I remember when we talked with Eric Garfield the first time back, what did we do, March or February, sometime in during spring trainings, he was getting, yeah, it must have been March because it was some spring training looks. It was, he told us that Kowser and Norby's power was underrated. I remember that. And Norby now has 23 home runs and 14 steals in 101 games. And after kind of a slow start to the year in high A Aberdeen, he's now up to in double A, 53 games, 293, 373, 576 with 15 home runs, 8 steals, and a 287 ISO. I think he's a 20, you know, low to mid 20s homer bat. I think he's double digit steals. I think he'll probably settle on like a 10 or 12 steal guy. And there's a solid average in there as well. So he's another guy that, you know, I'm not saying he's the next Grissom, but I think he could be, you know, could see a very big jump next year. He's already jumped up a lot in my rankings. He's top 100 now. I think you can see him top 25 by this time next year.
It seems that way. I mean, he's been everything you want and very impressive. So Norby is a stud in the making, I think. And when you think about the combination of the contact skills that he has always possessed, plus the power that's, I would say, is developing, and then even chips in some speed to go with it and good instincts on the base pass at that, then I think we can be looking at a really solid fantasy asset. So Norby's totally justified to be moving up.
For sure. Any other infielders you want to hit on, Chris? You want to go over to the outfield now?
No, let's hit the outfield.
All right. Eight outfielders on the docket here. Evan Carter, Jason Dominguez, Oscar Colas, Aaron Zavala, Alexander Canario, Miguel Blais, Colton Kowser, and Spencer Jones. A couple of Yankees, Red Sox, Oriole here. Again, Colton Kowser. You know, it kind of upsets me. I've always been, I think one of the bigger Colton Kowser guys. And honestly, people pumping him up higher than me, which is like, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. But people are buying in. I'm glad to see it. I've always been very high. I bought into what Eric Garfield was saying about the power. I kind of thought that as well. And he's just had a great all-around year. He really kind of, again, similar to Norby, a little bit of a slower start to the season, but it's really turned it on over the last few months. It's kind of looks like a nice five-category guy. Same with Evan Carter. I think he's probably the one that – who do you have ranked higher, Evan Carter or Colton Kowser? I bet you they're pretty close in your rankings.
They're side-by-side, yeah. Kowser, yes. Kowser, Carter, Dominguez, all side-by-side.
Nice. And I honestly did not look at Chris's rankings. I just kind of knew roughly where he had put them. And where is that in your rankings, Chris?
17, 18, 19.
Ooh, so those all three. Top 20. So who was number one out of those? Like, what was the order? Not that it really matters.
Kowser, Carter, Dominguez.
Okay. Yeah, Carter has been, like I said, we've talked about him before, gone from a surprise top 50 draft pick, I think it was pick 50 in the nose, if I recall correctly, to a guy that's top 20 on Chris's list. And where are these guys on my rankings here? I know the rough range, but I want to give people the exact number here. I have Evan Carter 34, Colton Kowser 22, and Jason Dominguez 40. So we had that nice Dominguez-Rafael debate, and Chris, they did end up very close. I have Rafael at 38 and Jason 40. I knew they'd end up close. Nice. So, and that's how you have Dominguez a bit higher here. But, yeah, Colton Kowser tearing it up. I think he's probably up at some point next year, adding to that nice young nucleus they're building there in Baltimore. And Evan Carter, I keep getting more and more impressed by him. I know you saw him live and was incredibly impressed. So these are just three outfielders here, and I think – it's time. Yeah, I'd buy high on all three of these guys. Same with Aaron Zavala. He's a little bit lower in rankings, but he's had a very good year. Kolas as well. All these guys obviously have had great years. That's why they're on this list. But I want as much stock of these guys as I can. Spencer Jones, another one that I think he's just going to continue to skyrocket up rankings. You had him as one of your guys that could make that huge jump next year in your Patreon post you did about, you know, 5-6 days ago. He's running a lot. Obviously, it's single A, but power's there, contact's there, Yankee Stadium, all of that. So, man, Spencer Jones is probably top 25 by this time next year. I fully believe that.
Yeah, it's possible. So the ones, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're priced out on Carter and Dominguez and Kowser yet. Kowser's probably the one with the most hype all around.
Yeah, but I think so.
Yeah, I'd say overall you can probably still get Carter and Dominguez a little cheaper than I value them, at least like as top 20. Zavala's an easy buy. I mean, Kolas is one that I think you should buy into as well. That's not getting the love in most places, where I've got him 40th, I think, around 40 or 46th. I think Kolas is an absolute dude and keeps performing. And all around, this is a kind of good group to buy, because even with the Miguel Blaise, Blaise hype, you can still get him at a reasonable price if you truly believe that he can become a top 25 prospect. Like, the price is still there for like him, even Jones and FYPD. You can get a relative price. So there's some good buying opportunities in this group of outfielders, and a lot to like here with all these guys and what we've seen this year.
And I got to give a shout out to Chris at Baseball Pods, because he was very aggressive on Spencer Jones right from the get go. And I think now the rest of the industry is following suit. So yeah, you know, giving some props to the Chris there, but yeah, all these guys are great buys. Like Miguel Blaise, I think, is still very underrated. Obviously great reports on him from basically everybody that has seen him or anybody within the organization. I love Spencer Jones, obviously, as well. Canario, great power speed guy, even if the, you know, the average might be a little bit lower, maybe he's like 250, 255 guy, but 25 plus home runs, 15 plus steals is definitely there. See, a lot of fun names here to buy on the outfield for sure. Anybody else you want to hit on, Chris, before we end this show?
No, I just will say with Miguel Blaise, I think that if he had not gotten hurt and had moved up to Salem, then he probably wouldn't be gettable. But I think because he overall, if you just look at the numbers, he's still, you can still buy in just based on that. Like his numbers are good, but didn't play past complex ball. And, you know, I've heard people say that you can still get him while the price is good. And I think that's not true in some cases, because I think the cost is out of control at this point. Like, it's not a buying opportunity. But if you do believe that he's going to continue to ascend up, then maybe you can still buy. But it's all about finding these next guys that are going to make that jump. So, you know, Blaise could take a step forward once he hits full season ball, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, go back to our episode last time with Eric and Bailey, that, you know, we talked about some of these guys that could make these jumps next year. So, but that is going to wrap us up. A really fun episode here. Talked a lot of names. We'll do the dynasty version of this on the Monday's episode, so check out that as well. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris of that Roto Clegg. I am at Eric Cross 04. And our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon, of course. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everybody take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, Did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.